going on, guys? Welcome back to the MLS Now podcast. This is your host, Gavin. Really excited as today we are going to be deep diving into FC Dallas. Here to do it with me is our contributor, our the person we go to whenever there's anything Dallas that we need to talk about. It's Melanie. Melanie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I don't like the two recent results, but, you know.
Yeah, last few results have not been great, but we're definitely going to talk about those. And obviously in Texas, some rough times. So thoughts and prayers, per usual, have to go out there. But focusing on the football, Dallas have been a positive this season, have been a lot better than in seasons past. I think you and everyone listening would agree. Currently sit third place after 6 wins, 4 draws, and 3 losses in 13 games. They've got 21 goals for, 12 goals against, giving them a 9-goal difference, one of the best in the entire league. Only a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams have 9 or more goal difference, and Dallas is one of those 5. So, yeah, things are looking good for FC Dallas. Just give me a quick rundown on what your expectations were heading into the season. Are you where you expected to be? Are you above where you expected to be? Or are you below where you expected to be? Obviously, with the context for our listeners that you Dallas signed Paul Areola, Alan Velasco, Nanu. Did you get any other signings in? Was Pace this season as well, the goalkeeper?
Yeah, he's actually on loan until, I think, July.
Okay, so okay.
Hopefully they renew it.
Yeah, and then you guys obviously had the new coach, Nico Estevez. So where are you at in terms of your expectations?
Actually, for the beginning of the season, it's higher than I thought. I mean, I was hoping we would be like, you know, maybe fifth, but being third's pretty nice.
Yeah. That's interesting to me. I feel like some fans and maybe not you, but maybe you can tell me if other fans in the FC Dallas fan base were like this, but when you get a couple big signings, automatically we're finishing first, right? So Velasco, Areola, you guys dropped some cash. You had rumors of a, Brazilian midfielder, right?
Yeah, forgot his name.
But that seems to have not come to fruition. But we guys had some big signings, and so everyone's gonna go, oh, I think we're gonna be home playoff teams. So is that kind of around the fan base what it was like early on, or was everybody keeping pretty composed and saying we'll see where we're at third of the way through the season?
Bunch of them think we were going to be just outside the playoffs, so we're actually doing a lot better.
Wow, okay, awesome. Well, perfect. So let's go ahead and talk about the fans and the club and the relationship that they've had. Can you just talk about, and maybe give us some historical context as well, the off-field issues that seemed to be there last season? I know you wrote an article, a very good article about that a while ago, and maybe what's changed for you this season?
I mean, last season towards the end, like the fans were really getting annoyed and starting to call out the Hunts. They had those banners. If you remember those. And then I like to think that the article helped out some, but I know like, getting that money for Pepe like really helped them to actually spend money because they had money that wasn't really, you know, theirs, I guess. But yeah, I think just combination of the Pepe money and fans getting tired.
So you think the Pepe money helped you get to where you are now? So you were able to get Areola, you were able to get Velasco, and then the fans were just frustrated with the Hunts for the decisions they were making?
I mean, just decisions over since the Hunts acquired FC Dallas. I mean, they haven't done that much over, I think they got him like 2005. So, and then before that, they were owned by MLS. So MLS didn't do a whole lot for him back in the day.
Right. And then what's going on with the standing section? Didn't you guys get like bleachers or something, or like bike racks? That's what it was. It was bike racks, right?
Yeah, that was like for the first one or two games. I think just one, but now it's actually legit looking.
Oh,
I've been over there a few times and it's actually like it.
I remember that it was a promise from the owner that there was going to be a standing section, and he had all this time to set it up. And by the time it was time to play and have fans there, there were bike racks and not an actual standing section. I just didn't know if that had been resolved. So that's good to hear. So looking at the season now, recently you guys have lost two games in a row. You lost midweek on the road against Vancouver, who a team who's been struggling this season big time. And then you guys go home and lose a tough one to Minnesota. What went wrong for you in each of those games?
I always feel like we struggle in Vancouver. I think it's like the furthest that we have to travel during the season. Like, personally, I hate playing there because the first time we played there, Jesus's dad, Davi Fiera, he ended up getting a season-ending injury, like coming off of his MVP year. And then I wasn't able to watch the last game live because I had to work. I watched the highlights today, and that one was just so frustrating. There's like so many missed opportunities, and that free kick goal just really frustrated me.
Yeah.
I mean, it went right through everyone. No one could get to the rebound quick enough.
It's always annoying when those kind of random goals come in and just shows that this game is just a game of margins sometimes. So definitely with Vancouver, and also I think with Minnesota, do you think that the fact that you guys played three games in the span of, I think, 8 days, you played Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, away to Galaxy, next was away to Vancouver. So two very far trips before coming back home. Do you think that had an impact on the players and possibly the results?
I think so. Plus, I know we were missing Velasco, Poss, and I think Martinez because of safety protocols. I don't know if it was like COVID related or not, but we're missing those three. And then I think Minnesota, they wanted to give Jesus some time off because they started Hara. And then when we don't have Hedges, we're just not as great defensively. Because I think it was like Martinez and I mean, I know his name, Tafari. Like,
is that
Hedges has been like the rock for like the last 10 years now.
Sorry, is Tafari and Sabaleng, is that his name? The right back?
No, he's the other center back.
Oh.
I know his name, and it is like slipping on my mind right now. Yeah.
Nkosi. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I haven't really seen him play a bunch because usually it's Martinez and Hedges back there, right?
Yeah, he did really good last year. And then, like, once Lucci was let go, he wasn't playing that much. And then I think he's starting to get better again. It's just he's still young. It's going to take some time to get back into the rhythm, especially after being out for as many games as he was.
Yeah. So you think not having Velasco is a big deal. But I feel like Hedges might have been even worse. Like you said, he's been the rock for you guys. Was he out both games, or was it just the midweek matchup?
He was, I think it was the Minnesota that he was out for. Like,
You're
he
right.
wasn't starting. Not sure about the Vancouver one. My
Looks like he
phone's being
started
kind of
that
slow,
one.
so I'm having. He did.
Yeah, looks like he started that one. Yeah, so I agree. I think Hedges is definitely a big miss there. So then with those two results, in the back of your mind, you now have had a week to rest up. What's the feeling among the fan base, maybe the team? What is your feeling heading into the match against Orlando City this Saturday?
Oh man, it's like I want us to win, but at the same time, it's an away game. And typically around this time, FC Dallas enters the summer slump. So, I mean, it could honestly, I could see it going either way. We either win and then go into the summer slump, or we lose and it just continues. But yeah, every summer they do this and it's frustrating as a fan.
Interesting, because Orlando always has a little bit of a summer slump too. I wonder if it's the weather. Like I've heard it as a thing before, but usually I think every team like every other team doesn't really have a slump, I feel like, in the summer. But now that Dallas gets pretty hot, you know that.
Yeah.
Orlando gets pretty hot as well. And thankfully, it's a 7:30 p.m. Eastern time kickoff, so it'll be the sun's going down by that point. What is your that? Sorry, that's just interesting to me. What's your prediction for the match? How are you feeling? Do you think it's going to be a win, or a loss? Like what do you think is going to happen?
I think Orlando struggled the last couple of games too, right?
Yeah, sorry, I'm eating.
Yeah. No, you're good. I'm gonna go with 0-0 draw. Both teams just kind of struggle and they're kind of sluggish out there.
Yeah, Orlando, we've been a little iffy at home this season. We got kind of screwed over in the Austin game. We were up 2-0, and then some soft calls went for Austin. Orlando City lost their head. Went down to nine men, and Austin tied right at the death. But before that was a pretty poor performance against Toronto, who haven't been good. We just played 120 minutes plus penalties in the Open Cup against Miami on Wednesday. I think you guys are going to win, personally. Y'all went into LA Galaxy, sat deep, and hit them on the counter and scored some great goals. I could see something similar against Orlando. It's not every day I pick against Orlando, Melanie, but I'm actually very much betting that Dallas are going to win. It's a little bit of my prediction there. All right. It's okay if you don't have an answer for this one, but everyone knows Dallas have a very good academy, very good youth system. They've been pumping out talent left, right, and center over the last 10, 15 years. Give me the detail. Give me the heads up. Who is the next player that everyone should be keeping an eye out for in the FC Dallas pipeline?
Oh man, I know that there's been like a couple of goalkeepers that other people that write about FC Dallas have been super excited for. Like, one problem with the academy now is you've got so many scouts coming in, but don't know. I'm always like thinking you could end up with another Weston McKennie thing where they just end up going without signing for Dallas. Yeah, I can't, off the top of my head, I can't really think of any. I haven't really kept up with the academy that much.
So looking at least goalkeepers, the only one I see here that's young is 18-year-old Carrera, Antonio Carrera. Is that who you were thinking? Looks like he's Mexican and American dual national, possibly. Do you know if he was one of the ones?
He's really good, but I mean, the one name that keeps popping out in my head is Istone, which I think it's the kid that's like, it's either him or this other kid that's like super young and is already like 6 feet tall.
What was the first one? Istone?
Yeah, because it was like a really like unique last name.
Istone. All right, I'm going to look him up. Yep, Julian Istone joined in 2015. How old is this kid? He looks so young. Oh my God, he is 13 years old. All right, Julian Istone. He's already on the FC Dallas website. Wow. That's something, right? Oh my gosh. Favorite international player, Manuel Neuer.
Nice. I'm hoping Pereira's brother is actually playing for North Texas Soccer Club, Santiago. I'm really hoping he ends up with the first team at some point.
I heard about that. That's right. Totally forgot about that. There's some excitement around him too. Got another brother dynasty, the Aronsons, the Ferreras. It's looking good. All right. Awesome. So 13-year-old Julian Istone. So I'm sure he'll be a homegrown in like 3 years. He'll be like, what, 16 by then? Although we're signing people at 14 nowadays, maybe he's going to be the first 13-year-old to be signed as a homegrown. That'd be ridiculous. Let's go ahead and look at coach. You obviously watch Dallas week in, week out. You're obviously keeping updates on the team. Give us some detail on Nico Estevez, how he's done. What's been your favorite aspect of him as a coach? Give the listeners the nitty gritty on Nico Estevez.
He's been doing a lot better than I thought he would for his first season, especially because I think this is his first like actual being head coach, because he was an assistant over with the U.S. national team. So far, the players seem to really respond to him. That first road game, I think Matt Hedges was saying that the whole vibe with the team on the road was like really different. Like they felt like they could actually get a result, which wasn't really the case like the last two or three. No, I think two years, maybe three.
I feel like the last time you guys felt you could get a result on the road was with Pareja, no?
Yeah, I think so.
That was what, I mean, like, 4 years ago now?
Yeah, it was like 2018 was his last year.
And you guys like, got
2019. 2019, Lucci wasn't really that bad until the league started to figure him out.
The rest is history, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things I heard was Nico Estevez was really good at, like, managing people. I think I heard it in an I can't remember where I heard it, but I think I either read it or heard that Nico Estevez, one of his strongest abilities is managing people and managing the team and keeping everybody on the same page and involved. And I think I'm really glad you brought that up. Like just the away feeling, like we can actually go and win here. We're not just throwing this game away, and it's clearly shown, and he's clearly very good at it. All right, let's get into some players. For you, Melanie, who's been the best player for Dallas this season? When you guys are in third place, there's a lot of options. So I'm eager to hear who's been the best.
Oh man. Jesus is the golden boot leader right now. And I mean, he's got a few assists, I think. I can't remember the actual number. But I mean, with him being, as good as he is, that also takes pressure off the others. So like you have Areola and Velasco can go and score some goals. And then Marco Farfan has like quietly been one of the best signings we've had. Mean, like I was kind of worried when we traded Ryan Hollingshead, but I kind of keep forgetting about him now because Farfan has just been so good. Gonna have to go with Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Jesus, but my next now my next question was most underrated player this season, and I was thinking either by fans or by media. Are you thinking it's Farfan?
Yeah. Mean, the
I
fans
like that.
appreciate him and everything, but since he's a defender, he just really doesn't get as much credit as he should be getting.
Yeah, I mean, hey, there's always another player out there, right? You guys lose a
Yeah.
rock in Hollingshead and bring in Farfan, who's younger, so he's gonna be around for longer. Yeah, that's awesome.
And he's more defensive minded than Ryan was, so I think that's really helped us with the conceding less goals than last year.
And that sounds like it worked out for all parties because I think Ryan's been doing pretty good in LA as well. And they're more of a obviously attacking team. And you guys just needed a more defensive person there. So love when the trade works out for both parties. All right. Who is a player? And maybe this one will be a hard one, but who's a player who needs improvement this season?
Oh man. I kind of want to see O'Brien improve more because, I mean, he has been able to help since Blasco has been unavailable. I mean, he's got the speed and everything that if he could put it all together and come off the bench, I think it would help us out a lot late in games.
Love that
And
answer.
then I want to see Nanu do a lot better. I mean, they did the salary release a while back, and I think he's making way too much for how he's performing right now.
You guys got him on loan, right?
Yeah, he's just on loan, but I mean, he's making, I think, over half a million.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. I wonder
I
if that's
remember
just
seeing it and being like, wow.
because he's from Porto, right? I wonder if it's just from the
Yeah.
European wages. Like he got a really big contract because he was young and promising, and he's still on that contract, and they loaned him out to get rid of that contract. I don't know. But yeah, when you're on that money, you better be performing, and he hasn't even been starting, right? He's been backup.
Him and Tomasi have kind of just gone back and forth. I mean, I don't think either one of them has really like cemented their spot yet. So we
Yeah.
need someone to do that, or we need to bring in someone that can do that.
Nine is 28. I didn't know that. I thought he
Yeah,
was
especially, I
younger.
mean, especially being 28, I'm just expecting more from them.
Oh yeah, me too. So I've been praising Nanu. I've liked what I've seen when I've seen him, but I completely thought he was a young player. No, if you're 28, you're on loan from Porto, you need to be doing better. That needs to be your
Yeah.
position. I agree with you there, big time. Wow. Can't believe that. That really surprised me. Sorry. All right. Last question. I did not discuss this with you previously, but I want to get a yes or no. Will Jesus Ferreira win the Golden Boot?
Yes.
Hey, love it, love it, love it. All right, Melanie. Any parting comments before we go? And if not, where can our listeners find you at?
Oh, so since FC Dallas signed Velasco a while back, I said I thought I would do a jersey giveaway. So now that I actually have an episode for this season, anyone that retweets the episode will be entered in the contest for a medium replica Velasco jersey.
Oh, Melanie, no way. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so kind of you. Wow. Okay, medium replica Velasco jersey. All you have to do is retweet the episode. Wow. Okay, so I will make sure I add that to the tweet itself. So anybody who may have only been able to listen to half the episode is still able to enter. But yeah, that's awesome, Melanie. And of course, where can our listeners find you at?
So mostly I'm on Twitter. It's going to be Tauros 95, and then I also have Instagram, which should be under the same name. Yeah,
Believe it
Tauros
is.
underscore 95.
Yep. Make sure you guys give Melanie a follow. Melanie, thank you so much. It's been great chatting with you. And good luck for the rest of the season, but not giving you good luck on Saturday. No way.